grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, chapter 2, verses 6 to 13. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, our only Savior, whom the Spirit has revealed to us as the mystery, the hidden secret of God, dear fellow redeemed. This past Wednesday in our Bible class, we were discussing Jacob's treatment of his son Joseph, how he gave to Joseph that coat of many colors, which is a symbol of royalty, also showing to Joseph's brothers and Jacob's sons that Jacob loved Joseph best. I mentioned at the time that it reminded me of the Smothers Brothers comedy team, or Tommy Smothers would always say to his brother Dickie, "Mom loved you best." And to that, I got some blank stares from the under 30 crowd. The Smothers Brothers were popular in the 60s and 70s and early 80s, and they had no idea whom I was talking about. Well, as I was going through this morning's sermon text, I thought of another old TV show, a game show called I Got a Secret. And what it was four contestants would have someone come, and they'd say, "I have a secret." And then they would ask questions of that person. The secret could be something like, "I served as a double for President so-and-so," or "I juggled for more hours than anybody else in the whole world." After so many minutes, they would try to then discern what the secret was of that individual. I don't remember that they found out the secret too often. Very often, even after questioning, they didn't know what the secret was. Wouldn't that be terrible if God treated us that way? He said, "I've got a secret, but I'm not going to tell you unless you guess it." We couldn't even begin to guess what the secret would be. We're not in the realm of God. So God has revealed to us this great secret. He revealed to us in one place, and that is in the Scriptures. The secret of forgiveness of sins, the secret of peace with God, the secret of a blessed life here on this earth, and the secret of an assured eternity in heaven. We read last Sunday, the Apostle Paul wrote that when he came to Corinth, he didn't come with excellence of speech, or worldly wisdom, or with persuasive words, but with a simple message of Christ crucified, which to the world is foolishness. But then he says in verse 6, "However, I'm preaching a message of wisdom, the wisdom of God." We read again the first three verses of our sermon text. "However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. From these words we see that God's greatest secret, first of all, remains hidden and unknown to the world. The rulers and leaders of Paul's age didn't know that secret. They didn't know the answer to Pilate's question, what is truth? Paul says, had they known, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. Had they really known who Jesus was, they wouldn't have put him to death. They wouldn't have condemned him as a common criminal to be crucified upon the cross if they knew that he was the Lord God, the Messiah, the Savior of mankind. And so their crucifixion of Jesus was clear evidence that the leaders of Paul's day didn't know that secret. And he was talking about Annas and Caiaphas and the high priests and the Jewish Sanhedrin and Pilate and Herod and those who took part in his crucifixion. In the next verse, Paul reaches back to Isaiah. He quotes Isaiah 64. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. It has never or can ever occur to the mind of man the things that God does. The things that God does so wonderfully, so majestically, and does it for undeserving people. That can never come to the mind of mankind, apart from God revealing it to him. Paul continues, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. You don't know what I'm thinking, nor do I know what you're thinking. I can't read your mind. And we're human beings. So how in the world can we think that we can understand the mind of God and be able to know his thoughts? Case in point, think of all the unbelieving best minds in this world. All the intellectual giants that we have in our society, they have made some amazing discoveries. They have written libraries of books about their amazing facts and inventions and wisdom and scientific wonders. But they have never guessed, they have never dreamt that God so personally and intimately is involved in every single person's life, so that he in love sent his son into this world to sacrifice him for us and to secure for every single person everlasting life. That they would never know. In fact, most of the worldly intellectuals of our day don't even believe that God exists or that he created us. So the difference between the spirit of the world and man's wisdom and the spirit of God and God's wisdom is worlds apart. It's like night and day, black and white. The spirit of the world, Paul says, is bound to this earth. It can't think and understand the things of the hereafter. It is based upon the things of this world. It can't know heavenly things. And so what man knows and desires is all that man's wisdom can offer to us. The highest man's wisdom can reach is to set goals for himself, for the here and now. And then guess what the hereafter is all about. And yet, don't you see that so many of these unspiritual people talk as if they know all about God? All about what he's done for us? They talk with authority about the many gods of this earth. They talk with authority about the many ways to get to those gods. They talk with authority about how we can get to the goal that these gods set up for us by all our good works. They talk as if they know where life came from. They talk as if they know that how life came about and where life's going. But they don't know nothing. Those of you who saw the debate between Ken Ham and Bill Nye, the science guy, saw that very clearly. Bill Nye is very intellectual, very wise. He doesn't know a thing about God and about life. Does a worldly person know where sin and guilt came from? Do they really understand the deceitfulness of the wicked heart that is in every single one of us? What are their answers to the problems of sickness and suffering? They think they can solve the problem to death and poverty and war and crime. They don't know. God says that's going to continue until the end of time. Do they know the true worth of earthly possessions? Do they know why there'll never be true justice, equality, and peace on this earth? Do they know the value of the soul? Do they understand and know why death reigns over mortal man? In fact, over everything that's living on this earth? And do they know what awaits in the hereafter? Unbelieving, wise man searches and searches and searches and guesses about the answers to all these questions in places like worldly philosophies or the paranormal activities or the occult or unexplained phenomena or in evolutionistic theories that they say are fact or scientific hypotheses or man-made religions, and they all end up in death and hell. And that's because God's wisdom, God's greatest secret, lies hidden in the gospel. Paul says, "But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom." What is that hidden wisdom? What is that mystery, God's greatest secret? It's the good news of God sending his great Son, Jesus Christ, as a Savior of mankind. It's God's thoughts, God's plans, God's decrees for simple mankind that have been revealed only in his Word. And these are all hidden to unbelieving mankind. Yes, all people do have a natural knowledge of God. They know that God exists. But that doesn't save anybody. As our confirmation children know and our adult instructees, a natural knowledge of God, which comes from the two C's, conscience and creation, tells us that God exists, that we're accountable to God. But it doesn't reveal to us the two most important points: who that God is and what that God has done to save us. The hidden wisdom, the secret wisdom, is found only in the Bible. And thankfully, that wisdom is not subject to change, is not subject to debate, for it is decreed already in eternity, and it has been given to us for our eternal glory. But if the best minds of this world, minds far more intelligent than mine or yours, haven't seen it or found it, how do you and I find it? That's a third point. God's greatest secret is revealed by the Spirit. Paul writes, "But God has revealed them to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God." Only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God, the Savior of mankind. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us that God is a loving Father who sent his Son to sacrifice him for all of our sins. Only the Spirit can reveal to us who the true God is, the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us what he's planned for us, an eternity with him in heaven. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us how he governs us with grace and mercy. The Spirit tells to us in Jeremiah 29, "I know the plans that I have for you, declares God, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." So Paul says, our wisdom is Spirit-given. According to the verses of our text, he says, "Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This Spirit-given wisdom has been revealed to you and to me for a purpose, and that is that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Otherwise, you and I would say, huh, thank fate. Thank luck. Now, we know that it's our Heavenly Father that has done this for us. That's what Paul proclaims. That's what the Scriptures proclaim. And that's what we proclaim and preach. A wisdom revealed to us by the Holy Spirit. And what a comforting teaching that is. That everything that is found in this book, everything has been inspired verbally, word for word, by God the Holy Spirit to us. Or as Peter says, holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. There are no faulty words of man's wisdom here. There's no man-made theories or guesses. Simply God's truth. God's greatest secret revealed. And finally, we see that God's greatest secret results in our salvation. The mysteries of this world, like incarnation, astral travel, crystal powers, out-of-psychic body experiences, they all lead to nothing but eternal death. But the mysteries, the hidden wisdom of God alone, leads to life. Paul writes, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. And that word mature literally means one who has reached the goal. What a beautiful picture that is of the believing child of God. The one who has reached the goal of believing in Christ. The one who has already secured for himself everlasting life. It's already his or hers through faith. Even babies in Christ are mature in Christ when they believe in Jesus. They're wise in the world's wisest leaders, scientists, philosophers, teachers who don't know Jesus. Wisdom's highest, noblest treasure, Jesus, lies concealed in thee. In paths of true wisdom, my steps ever training, oh, if I of Christ have this knowledge divine, the fullness of heavenly wisdom is mine. I've got a secret. You've got a secret. Most times we shouldn't tell secrets. But in this case, God says and commands us, go into all the world and say, boy, have I got a secret to tell you. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.